I know that, I know that, I know.
Thank God.
Yes. Well, I think that's one of the most fascinating aspects of being God, of expressing God, my all-knowingness. And in a way, I know what I'm talking about, because in these years that I lived the philosophy of God Unlimited University of Healing, I have affirmed to myself again and again, I know that I know that I know. And more I start to experience what it means to know these things just spontaneously and out of my inner all-knowingness. And it happens that when somebody asks a question, and I've never really consciously thought about it, that the answer just come up. I give the answer, and it's the right answer. And then sometimes I hear somebody saying, how would you know that? And that's true. I don't know how I would know it. I just know it. It just came up, and I trusted that source within myself. I trusted God who speaks as and through me, and it's right. And it's so easy when I can let go and let that inner knowledge just flow out of me and forget that I have to work hard to get knowledge. I mean, I always liked school because I liked learning. I liked learning about things, and I liked to learn how things function. I had this natural curiosity about life. And yet, to just be in tune with life and with all that I am is the most fascinating aspect of being God and expressing God. And in that respect, I have always admired Bert Spalding, who was told to be so one and knowledgeable and being able to answer all the questions that were asked of him. For example, I remember one description when he was giving a lecture and there were some university students coming up and they wanted to challenge him and with scientific questions. So they asked these scientific questions, and he just answered them in a very simple way, because out of respect for the audience that was listening to him. So finally, when the questions got more and more complex, he gave them the precise scientific answer to their questions. Absolutely perfect. And these college students, they came after the lecture, came up to him and just in great admiration for his genius. And another one of these little episodes of I know that I know that I know, when another student came up to him and asked him if he could help him to find a very rare formula, chemical formula for something. And Bert Spalding said to him, well, I know this formula, I can give it to you, and if you want to write it down, you can use my pen. And these are just, for me, examples of being in tune with the all-knowingness, which is absolutely fantastic. And another thing which is really nice is that he liked to play games with that all-knowingness. For example, when somebody asked him, do you know Bernd Grave from the area of Big Bear, who was delivering goods with buggies and horses at a certain time? And Bert Spalding would say, oh yes, I know him very well, and would tell about what goods he would transport and the prices he would get for the goods and so on. And when the people later asked that guy, do you know Mr. Spalding? They would say, no, I'm not even familiar with that name. But he was just so in tune with life and everything. He could just answer spontaneously every question that was asked of him. And while I'm already talking about him, just another little episode comes to my mind when also in a lecture a man said to him, do you know that Mr. X, which symbolizes a famous speaker, said of you that you have never been in Tibet? And Bert Spalding said, yes, I know. And the man said, but how can that man tell of you that you were not in Tibet if that is not true? And Bert Spalding just calmly and peacefully said, well, Mr. X was not with me. And it's just so, it's the flow that I admire when I read this little episode. It's that being in tune, that trusting of my inner source, which is just amazing and beautiful. And I'm working on that. I know, and trust myself, trust my God self. And I know that I am one as all knowledge, and I express that right now. And so it is. Living in the absolute monastery, or living in the world? Living in the absolute monastery or living in the world. What is the reason that I'm living in the absolute monastery? Why do I choose to be at the absolute monastery? I'm thinking now first, why would I like to live in the world? We have monks and novices and people coming to the monastery, and they do like it a lot. They think this is paradise, this is heaven on earth, there are beautiful grounds, 100 acres with meditation paths and a quietness and stillness and an absolute an adventure of paradise. But there's also a daily schedule. And the daily schedule changes. And often it is that most of the time, I would say, we're getting up at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's a schedule, 7-day schedule, which might be demanding for somebody who likes to do their own thing. Now, people who like to live in the world and say, look, I want to do my own thing, I want to go to the ocean, or want to go to the show, I want to go dancing, I want to go and see my friends, I want to go on holidays. These are all statements we can hear of people who want to walk their spiritual path, but still say, I want this and I want that. It just makes me smile, because so long we want this and have these wishes and these desires, we're really not walking our spiritual path, because we are still possessed by the human world. And I'm saying we. I'm speaking of we and including myself totally. Although I'm living in a monastery, there might be desires and wishes coming up to go to the ocean, but every time I'm thinking to spend, for instance, a day at the ocean, I think I don't need to go. I'm here at the absolute monastery. I'm going into my inner self, sitting outside of a rock on a rock in the sunshine, which is a very quiet place I'm choosing, all by myself. And when I'm closing my eyes, I can be just right at the ocean.
I can have every dream fulfilled. There is no need to go into the world and live these experiences. If that is my choice, that's all right. But I can have everything here in the monastery. There's a spricht word, wherever I hang my head, there's my home. Well, where is really my home? My home and all my desires are within me. And I can fulfill these desires if I'm living outside of the monastery or inside. It's a choice how much I am already self-disciplined, self-dedicated to my path. Can I live out in the world and follow a schedule like I do it in the monastery and be so dedicated to my thinking, to know who I am, to live who I am in the world with all the challenges? Well, at the monastery we have challenges too. But I'm surrounded by people who are equal-minded, and I'm always reminded of who and what I am. Looking at my fellow men here at the monastery, I see who I am. I can see that surely also out in the world when I'm there. But it is my choice to live at the absolute monastery or out in the world. And it only just depends on how much I am self-disciplined, how much I can follow my path and walk my path, my spiritual path in the world without being of the world and enjoying who I am. There's no need to live in an absolute monastery. Being a monk, I can live everywhere. And once I am connected, or as I am connected with my divine self and I know that I am God, there is no place to live. There's only one place, and that is within myself, knowing who I am and live it and be it. And so it is.
I am Inga, and I think about God. And I said that at the beginning there was a word, and God spoke his word and it was done. And so I know this is possible even today, because God created man to be man on the relative world. But on the other hand, what is God? God is an idea, is a thought, an imagination, and none of us can define it or touch it, just accepting that there is something, and this marvelous, great something exists, and at the same time, I believe and I know that this great oneness, great thinker, speaker, is right in me. It is only up to me to listen, to learn, to listen to within, and knowing that it is right. Having the intuition and following it. Yes, very often it happens that I have a thought, comes a thought, and then I start saying, but no, I had decided to do it in that way. And then when I wanted to do it in the way I wanted to do it, I realized that I was wrong. So this is just a little example. But, fun aside, I like to tell you a mythical story which is told of three gods in ancient times. These three gods were out fishing one day, relaxing and having a good time. A good time as we have here in the Absolute Monastery. Also not having the lake and sitting in a boat and fish. The subject came out to each of them to place where to place the man's divinity, his God nature. God nature is in every man, not only in every person, in everything that exists on the earth and in the universe. The three gods could not agree on where to place this quality of man, where he would not be too likely to find it without adequate preparation. For they felt that without adequate preparation, men would become like them and not appreciate who and what he was. Well, this is true. I have to appreciate that I am God and that God is within me. So I continue. One God said, "Let us put his divinity in the sky. Surely he will never look there." It means the mankind. Well, nowadays people had the idea and looked into the sky and found out many things and still finding out many things. And many have the possibility to see also beyond what at the they can see with a human eyes. So the other friend, the second one said, "No, one day man will explore outer space. He will search through the heavens and find his divinity there. We should hide his divinity rather in the deepest reaches of the sea, for surely he will never look there." Oh, he will never look there. This is an idea. And we know that there is a possibility to go deep, deep into the seas, into the ocean, and look what is going on there, even mentally in consciousness. Now the third God, the last one, said, "Surely we cannot hide man's divinity in the sea. One day he will explore the depths of the sea and will find his God nature there." So three possibilities they canceled. Then the third of them suggested that man's divinity be hidden deep within man himself. He will surely never look for it there. Indeed, when did we start? When did mankind start to look within? Many years ago, aeons ago, and the most we learned how to look within is with the words of Jesus. He's a great, magnificent teacher, Jesus. Because he says, whatever you think is in your heart, you are. So all three gods agreed, man would never look within himself for his divinity. This would be the very last place he would look for his God nature. So it was decided by the three gods of mythology to place within man himself his divinity, where he would be the last place he would look to find it. Well, now it is that these three mythological gods were only too correct in their assumption that man would look last within himself for his God nature. But now the secret is out. Man can know where divine nature dwells, not in some far off creative chaos, not in the quietness of the hillside or in the unknown areas of created consciousness, but within his very being. And this is great. And everybody today can think a lot about and find out how and where this God nature is in each one of us. I love you.
You know,